Welcome to episode 66 of the Mayberry Devotional, entitled, Do As I Say and As I Do. Today I'll be looking at Season 2, Episode 31 of the Andy Griffith Show, Deputy Otis. I'll also be looking at Scripture from Titus, Chapter 2, Verses 7 and 8. As the episode opens, we see Andy and Barney arriving at the courthouse to realize that neither one of them have their keys. They realize the courthouse is locked up because Otis came in the night before and locked the door. Upon finally waking Otis, they are led in by a cranky Otis who reminds them to bring their keys from then on out. Upon entering, Barney gets the mail that has been left outside, sorts through it, and finds a letter written to Otis that's addressed to him at the courthouse. Otis doesn't have his glasses and asks Andy to read it for him. The letter is from Otis's sister-in-law, who makes a comment that they are stopping by Mayberry on their way to Memphis and plan on stopping to see Otis. After making a joke in her letter about not worrying about getting a ticket, Otis has to admit that he's written his brother and sister-in-law on courthouse stationery, and Otis admits that they may think that he was a deputy. Otis then admits how he's always been the black sheep of the family, and how his brother Ralph was the one that everybody talked up. Andy then makes a decision to deputize Otis, well, temporarily, while his family is still in town, you know, to help Otis. Otis is then given a uniform, and a comedic skit ensues, with Barney swearing in Otis as a deputy. As Andy starts to take Otis to his house to show him off to his wife, we see the scene change to Otis's family driving down the road. Ralph and his wife Verlaine talk about their visit to see Otis, and, well, Ralph doesn't believe that Otis is a deputy. Back at Otis's house, we see Otis's wife Rita as she's making an inspection of Otis. While talking to Andy, you can tell the wheels in her head have been started turning. Rita verifies that Otis is a true deputy and must uphold all the laws while he is a deputy. Andy, sensing something amiss, agrees, and then he finds out her plan. Rita then takes Andy and Otis into the kitchen, where Rita then makes Otis bring out and confiscate the liquor that he's been hiding in the kitchen. Otis pulls it out from under her plant and then has to pour it down the drain. Just as he's pouring everything down the drain, Ralph and Verlaine arrive at Otis's house. After a short set of introductions, Andy goes on to explain how Otis is down at the jail for long periods of time, for hours on end. Andy also explains how Otis's specialty is, well, sniffing out steals. He tells how Otis will sniff out these steals and he brings them back to the courthouse all by himself. After Andy leaves and the women leave the living room, Ralph tries to get Otis to drink with him, suspecting that Otis really keeps some of the stuff, you know, for himself. Back at the courthouse, Andy and Barney talk about the idea of making Otis a deputy. While Andy tries to convince Barney it could do some good, Barney doesn't like the idea, and he tells Andy that he thinks it's falsifying. We see Otis come into the courthouse and tells Andy how he can't find his brother. Otis figures that Ralph is going around trying to find out if Otis really is a deputy, when in reality, we see Ralph enter the courthouse just a minute later, drunk, and then locks himself up in a cell. Otis then gives his brother a good dressing down for the fact that he got drunk in Mayberry and how he embarrassed Otis. Ralph then admits to Otis how he's the town drunk where he lives at, and Ralph decides that he's going to turn his life around, since it appears that Otis has also. The epilogue shows Barney and Andy at the courthouse talking about the fact that Otis's family has left, but he still hasn't returned the uniform. Barney is worried, but Andy doesn't think there's anything to worry about. Otis staggers into the courthouse, and when Andy asks if he's drunk, Otis admits that, well, he's actually walked from his house with his stomach sucked in, and when he releases it, well, he looks like he's about to collapse. The Bible verse I want to look at today comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. As Paul is writing to Titus in the first chapter, he writes concerning the qualifications of the leaders of the church. He continues on in chapter 2, giving instructions on how the members of the church should act. He gives instructions for older men, older women, husbands, wives, younger men, and even talks about bondservants. In our verses we're looking at, Paul tells his instructions to the younger men, of which we believe Titus to be one of them in the new church. He tells Titus that he, along with the other men, need to be role models, in contrast to some of the false teachers he wrote about in chapter 1. Titus needs to set an example of what it's like to be a follower of Christ. Paul writes that he needed to have integrity, dignity, and he had to have a speech that could not be condemned. He needed to live such a clean life that when people come to find something wrong with him, They would leave, finding nothing. In our episode, we see early on how it appears that Otis's brother Ralph was supposed to be the role model. Everyone compared Otis to Ralph, expecting Otis to live his life better and model his life after Ralph, since, well, Ralph seemed to be doing so much better. It does cause Otis to walk the straight and narrow while his brother and sister-in-law are in town, at least for a bit. It's after Ralph sees his brother as a deputy and not drinking anymore that we find out Ralph's secret. Ralph, the brother that is supposed to be, held over Otis's head as being a role model, well, he's the town drunk where he lives. But it appears that now seeing how Otis has changed and turned his life around, it causes Ralph to do some thinking. And I think it's at that moment that he sees Otis as a role model. Now, you might say that what Andy Dunn was falsifying, and I know many of you out there don't like to falsify, but I think this is the one time that it didn't hurt anything. How many times do we see role models in today's society fail? Maybe it's a ball player, a movie star, a singer, or maybe a politician. It seems like many years ago it was a common thing for somebody famous that when they would do something inappropriate, they'd get caught, and then they'd go on TV to apologize. Well, mainly for getting caught. But it seems like anymore, there's no apology when people get caught doing things that are wrong. It's better to ignore it because in a month, well, people think that everybody will have just forgotten it. How have your role models done throughout the years? Now, before we start going and criticizing others, let me ask you this question. If you've ever been a role model to somebody, how have you held up through the years? Not only can role models be famous, but role models can be parents, children, neighbors, siblings, church leaders, or even just close friends. I can't say that I've ever had anyone tell me that I've been their role model, but I know I've failed several times, and I need to model my life as Paul writes so that my opponents will find no evil against me. Paul writes to Titus and to the young men of the church to be models to the other young men so as not to be found guilty before others. It seemed that Otis's brother Ralph could do no wrong. Otis saw his brother as a role model, and for a short time, well, he wanted to show himself as being someone that the family could be proud of. However, in an unexpected change of events, Ralph later sees Otis as being the role model, and he changes his life because of Otis's example. We should remember in all the things that we do, we are to be models to others. Let our model be one that always sets a good example. We've all heard the saying, "Do as I say, not as I do," but I think Paul is writing that our lives need to be such a model to others that we can say, "Do as I say and as I do." I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Mayberry Devotional. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, leave me a rating or a comment. I appreciate it. I hope you join me next week as we'll look at Season 3, Episode 1, Mr. McBeevy. And until then, thanks for listening.